Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Major Asset Class Review. My name is David Clark, and today's date is February the 7th, 2024. Over the past week, I've seen U.S. equity indices, at least for the most part, show mixed bag in terms of returns. We did see emerging markets lead the way to the upside over the past week, up over 2%. Also saw the dollar in positive territory, up 79 basis points. Large cap indices with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ composite up in positive territory, although we did see small caps down over 2%. Part of that mixed bag, we were talking about commodities, also down almost 3% there over the past week. Taking a look at the chart of the S&P 500 this morning, we see with Wednesday's action here, it's improving upon its all-time highs here to 49.80. We also see NASDAQ Composite and NASDAQ 100 moving to buy signals as well. We're continuing a string of buy signals for the S&P. Over the past week, we've seen it complete its fifth consecutive buy signal here, again, improving to new all-time highs there. As for the Russell 2000, we still see it on a sell signal. Actually gave this first sell signal last Wednesday, did briefly reverse up rallying along with broader market indices on Friday, ultimately fell back to give a second sell signal there on Monday's action. As far as short-term indicators go, we do see the percent positive weekly momentum for the NYSE reversing back into a column of X's there at 28%, showing at least stocks able to improve on their near-term momentum. Overall, though, we see the bullish percent for the NYSE remains still on the upper half there, suggesting that over half the stocks maintained buy signals did fall to 56%, looking at 54% right now with its current rating, but still overall at a healthy level as we would view it. Now, within Dolly, not many changes on the asset class level. Did see consumer cyclical move up to third, overtaking financials. Have seen energy continue to lose signals over the past week, was the worst as far as that front goes, losing another 7 signals there over the past week, and healthcare jumping up to 9th here, overtaking real estate. Elsewise, not too much action going on within the indices, other indices, so we will catch you all next week.
Welcome to the opening seasonal quarter of February. Let's take a look at some of our top line indications. These levels have maintained a consistent high level, steady, stable readings for about a month now. And I just wanted to make some key points about our groups that score above 4. Our growth and income group has moved into the above 4 area and has just tagged the highest level that I think I've seen in 20 or 25 years. Other relationships maintain a consistency with what we saw in January, only widening U.S. over non-U.S. a little better. And certainly our growth over value is the widest spread we've seen since the opening of the seasonal quarter. Along the way, we do have upticks in our long-term moving averages, so strength is still accumulating. As we take a look at inside our core of the market, we do notice a big move in the momentum factor moving up to levels, putting it in second place of these 4. And these levels in the momentum factor I haven't seen since 2022. Now, all this is at the expense of the equal weight factor, which means that our average stock is still in distress. Look at this February opening quarter. MTOM, a momentum factor ETF in large cap space, has really stolen the show with a whopping score of 572. Next time, we'll take a look at February's impact on 2024.
This is John Lewis with a momentum update for February 7th, 2024. We're seeing real good performance out of momentum to start the year. We're seeing improvement in the fund scores of some momentum ETFs. We're seeing improvements in different factor models. They're moving up in matrices. And we've been seeing that ever since the market low back in November of last year. So momentum is off to a good start this year. January is normally weak for momentum. We certainly did not see that this year. And we are also seeing very good action out of the momentum spreads that we have on the screen now. So these spreads, as you remember, compare a basket of leaders versus laggards. When the spread is moving up, it's a healthy momentum environment. The domestic spread is shown on the top right. We've been able to push back that recent past that recent high. That looks very good. We're seeing good performance out of those strong momentum stocks. Developed markets has finally picked up. That's been kind of one of the laggards in terms of these spreads. We've seen that really push higher over the last couple weeks. That's sitting in a very good spot. And finally, emerging markets continues to be a really good place for momentum spreads and momentum performance versus broad market benchmarks. A lot of that is due to China and the drag there and the number of securities that come out of China that are having problems. But the momentum spread has pushed up to new highs. continues to move higher. We're seeing very good things there. So overall momentum looks very healthy right now, and we would expect that to continue as 2024 goes along.
Hey, good afternoon. This is the size and style overview. My name is Joe Tozzolo, and today's date is February 7th. I'm recording this in the morning, so there could be some changes throughout the day, but just to get right into it here, looking at the overall size and style rankings on the asset class group scores page, really no major changes to speak of over the past week. We've seen these overbought, oversold levels kind of remain elevated, large cap growth with 112%, but really no sign of that turning around anytime soon. When we look at, you know, sort of not just size and styles, but one of the factors here, iShares MSCI USA Momentum Factor ETF, ticker MTUM. You can see here has a really strong fund score of 5.72. It's done really well the last few months. And on its relative strength chart versus the S&P equal weight, on that default RS chart, return to a buy signal for the first time since March of 2021. So we're starting to see a momentum take a turn that it hasn't in quite some time. You know, we saw this RS relationship peak back in July of 2020 and then has kind of downward move since then. First buy signal in a few years. So that is a positive sign for, you know, trend following or momentum strategies in general. And then lastly here, just looking at the Russell 2000 ETF, ticker IWM, that's right at the score of 3.0. So it's in danger of crossing below that 3.0 score threshold. We've seen it consolidate up here in the mid-190s, kind of forming a triangle pattern here, or close to it, if it does reverse into X's. However, given that it's still in the midst of this fairly long range, I think we could see this head lower, or just continue to kind of chop around between 188 and 205, given the strong resistance up there around 200 and 205. But with that being said, I'll wrap it up for this week's size and style overview, and we'll be back next week.
Hello, my name is Ian Saunders, and I'll be covering the technology rundown for today, February 7th. Looking at the broader technology movement over the course of the past week, we saw some consolidation from many of the names within the space, and that led the 10-week for technology, ticker is Carat, TWEC Tech on the platform, to drop down to a chart level of 48% with movement over the past few days. For those that may not be familiar, this indicator simply looks at the percentage of stocks in the technology sector that are trading below their 10-week or 50-day moving averages. So as we can see historically, movement, when we see what are typically known as sell signals on this chart, wouldn't necessarily look at support and resistance the same way, but this is going to move the indicator to what we would call bear confirmed status. Prior movement to this kind of posture over the course of the past few years has led to some further declines. However, historically, I do want to note that that hasn't always been the case in longer-term bullish environments for technology, but nonetheless, a pretty notable area to look toward now. Might see some further kind of consolidation from many names across the space with this indicator movement. And looking at some of that consolidation, we saw some declines from one of the largest names in the technology space, Apple, ticker AAPL, reported earnings last week and moved notably lower after those earnings, giving a sell signal down at the 180 point with movement there last week. So we've seen a little bit of a resurgence from shares over the past few days, moving from an oversold condition back up to the midpoint on its trading band around 190 at the time of this recording on Wednesday. Do want to make sure to point out Apple still has a very strong longer-term technical picture, buy for five or from an attribute perspective. It still ranks within the top half of that top 500 large cap sector matrix, and it's been on a buy signal against the market since 2005. So longer-term technical posture still remains pretty positive. Seeing some near-term weakness here. We did see weekly momentum just flip back to positive. So we have support down at that 180 point now, looking toward overhead resistance around the 196 and 198 areas. Further support if we did continue to move lower from here is at 174. So seeing a little bit of series of lower highs with this movement, would like to see Apple continue to push a bit higher and see if we can get back to a buy signal at that 198 point moving forward. And another name that you can look toward within the technology space is going to be Elastic in the ticker ESTC on the platform. This is a strong buy for fiber. It has shown some notable improvement over the course of the past several weeks. Just looking at the 2-point for box size chart, showed real sharp rally in December of last year and more consistent improvement over the past few weeks. We got a little bit of a pullback yesterday to 120, resurgence at the time of this recording on Wednesday morning, up over 2%. So we have support at 116, looking toward overhead resistance at that 126 point would mark a third consecutive buy signal with movement to 128. So certainly a lot of other areas that you could kind of look toward favorably within the technology space. Many of those areas weren't overbought territory, seen some pullbacks from there. Looking toward one of the strongest areas, semiconductors continues to see a lot of strength, and some of the largest names on NVIDIA still has to report later on this month. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye out there for future updates here for the technology sector. But that wraps up what I was looking to touch on for technology, and we will be back to touch base with you all next week.
Hey there, everyone. My name is Miles. I'll be going through the industrials update for this week, February 7th, 2024. We can go ahead and get started with the Dolly view. Industrials is in general remains in an overweight position within Dolly, sitting just behind technology. It's remained here for quite some time. I think that's a plus for momentum in general, that prolonged strength for the top two sectors. Moving over into the asset class group scores view of the sector, the average industrial fund ranks at around 4.3 or so. We're going to have to watch how we react at this point, as throughout the last, you know, really year, 52 weeks or so, we have seen strength from industrials, but it's backed off a score of roughly 4.3 or so a couple of different times. So keep an eye on this, possibly set an alert over on the asset class group scores page for an eclipse of this point. A couple different things worth mentioning, starting broadly with XLI, has a 4.42 fund score, is up about 2% for the year, slightly underperforming the market, but it did continue higher this week to a chart reading of 116. Those are going to be new all-time highs at current level here, so just continuing, again, not heavily overbought, but is up in that range, just continue to dollar cost average in for XLI. A couple different stock comments here. First one being Caterpillar. They reported earnings over the last week, like much of the market. Is a perfect five for fiver here, is on a pair of consecutive buy signals. Is technically overbought, again, like much of the market, but did get a reversal back down. If you're wanting to be a bit more offensive, you could start to dollar cost average in here. I think if you're looking to be a bit defensive, you could look until we find some localized support, probably around that 300 mark towards the downside. Lastly, we'll wrap up here with a comment on Illinois Toolworks. Their ITW is another five for fiver. I think this is a wait and see in my view here, as we've now run into resistance up at those all-time highs at 264 a couple of different times, recently reversed back down, still on a buy signal, technically strong as well, but reversing back down, not something I like to see, at least in the short term. So I'm going to possibly wait to add until we get to about 268 and we can reestablish ourselves at new all-time highs. I'll go ahead and wrap up here. Hope everyone has a great day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Consumer Discretionary Update from February the 7th, 2024. My name is David Clark. I'm one of the analysts here at NASDAQ. Dorsey Wright. Overall, it was a positive week for the sector. We saw XLY up over 1%, outperforming the S&P 500. With action on Friday, we did see XLY move back into a column of X's here, moving up to 178 on the chart there. Now putting in a higher bottom here at 170, nice little more localized support, while the bullish support line resides at 152. Saw some earnings last week, beginning with Amazon, did see a rally up to its highest level since 2021, moving up above that 172 level there, has given four consecutive buy signals, currently sits in overbought territory, so may look at for it to normalize here in the lower 170s, upper 160s. So we keep an eye on that, but also did see over this past week, Amazon gave a PRS buy signal following Friday's action, improving it up to a five for fivers. So from there, we also see Royal Caribbean report earnings. Ultimately, we did see it rally to break a double top for a new all-time high there at 132, subsequently reversed down on Friday, right back towards the middle of the trading band here. Reversal back in the column of X's here. We put another higher bottom in there, further building some support here in the high 110s at 120 as well, but a nice five for fiver as there as well, and ranking third out of 53 in the leisure sector matrix. Hilton reporting today, it's also a five for fiver, rallying up to that near that $200 level, moving above 198. Did report a beat, did as far as 2024 guidance, though, was a little bit more muted there. But overall, positive reaction out of the stock is well up on a column of X's here on a stem and still has very low support here at 168, 166. So it may keep an eye on that one here near term as well. Also seeing O'Reilly reporting this afternoon. ORLY is a 5 for 5er, currently trading near all-time highs. It's given two consecutive buy signals, has support there at 928 as well as at 864. Expedia, additionally, another leisure name there. EXPE is a 4 for 5er, sits second out of 53, and that leisure sector matrix has reversed up with recent action, given breaking a quadruple top here with in the move today up above 156, still at this point having a nice support here at 148 as well as at 146 after a brief period of consolidation for the past month, seeing a nice breakout there on Expedia on this earnings day. But as always, we'll be back next week with further action within the sector.
Welcome to this week's financials review. Today is February 7th, and my name is Joe Tizzolo. So looking at some of the developments here in financials, we've seen a pretty sharp drop off in score. Last week, we were talking about how financials had a average score of 3.99, ready to cross above that 4.0 score threshold for the first time in quite some time. However, some bad news regarding regional banks brought broad financials lower, as well as that financial bank subgroup there, now closing in on a 3 average score, pretty much the lowest score it's had since December of last year. If we look at the main culprit here, it's New York Community Bancorp, ticker NYCB. It's an 0 for 5er. You know, it's down almost 60% year to date. You know, been cutting pretty much over around 60% so far this year. Obviously, really poor technical picture, but the important thing to keep in mind with this bank is, you know, we're seeing the cracks that we saw last year in regional banks start to reappear. Now, one big thing to watch out for is the bank term funding program has to be renewed soon with the Fed making a decision there. They pretty much said their plan on ending the program, but we'll see if any of these developments change what they have in mind moving forward for that bank term funding program. Now, on the bank front, broadly speaking, the for the Spider S&P Bank ETF, ticker KBE, you know, still a fund score above 3.0, really strong direction as well. However, we did see it move to a sell signal for the first time since October of last year. And again, we're back in this area we've talked about pretty frequently, you know, 43.50 to 42.50. You know, you really want to this area to act as support, kind of the lows from before the regional banking crisis last year and the highs from July of last year as well, hoping that whole area kind of acts as support. So far, we haven't broken through that 42.50, but we are close, and we've kind of seen a material change in the picture, the technical picture for banks overall. Now, one area that's been really strong in the financial space has been insurance, and that's really continued to be the case so far this year. Looking at the iShares U.S. Insurance ETF, ticker IAK, you know, near perfect fund score, 5.57, positive score direction. The fund currently trades on 5 consecutive buy signals. However, it is right at heavily overbought territory right there at 69%. So 70% is what we call heavily overbought. There's also not a lot of support nearby. I was looking actually for single stocks to look at that were actionable, and there really weren't many, even, you know, among the really strong names. So I think this is something, an area you keep your eye on. And if we do see kind of the regional banking situation bleed over into the broader market or just broader financials in general, I do think some of these insurance names on those pullbacks could be really actionable. So that is something to keep in mind moving forward. But that wraps up this week's financials review, and we'll be back next week.
Hello, everyone. My name is Miles Clark. I'll be going through this week's communication services update for the week of February 7th, 2024. We can go ahead and get started here with the Dolly View. Communication services remains in fifth after rocketing up into the top half of the rankings. Over the last couple of weeks, broadly speaking, participation has been focused in just a couple of names, which we'll take a look at more in just a moment for the group. However, I want to take a look at the average fund score over on the asset class group scores as well for the communications sector. We're approaching a score of 4.0 really for the first time since 2021 or so. So keep an eye on this. We've really seen a nice rally off of lows back from 2022. Of course, that was mostly fueled by tech-focused weakness during that whole year. Mentioned we talked about participation. We're looking at the bullish percent for the sector. So measuring the percentage of stocks within the sector on those PNF buy signals. This one's been a sticky kind of nut or a hard nut to crack at around 40% of those stocks in general. Here, a lot of those, as I mentioned, focused in on the mega cap tech names. A couple of them we'll mention today are going to be Meta Platform. Last week, we talked to them about them. They were below 400 or so. They had just pulled back before their earnings here. They went ahead and posted a fifth consecutive buy signal, declaring a dividend as well. Recently pulling back, I think we wait here until we can find our kind of a new trading range, if you will. On the back of this pullback, all things considered, though, Meta is still one we're going to look to add to once we can find that range. Moving over into a couple different earnings worth mentioning this week, the first one being Snap. They reported yesterday after close and they're down about 30%. Yes, that's 30%, having it rocketed down lower all the way to the bottom of the trading band, meeting the bullish support line below at $11.50 here. This one is a five for fiver, but if you do have exposure and want to trim, I'd say we wait until we get rallies back up towards the middle of the trading band there, probably around $13, $13.50, $14 or so. Last one here, we'll take a look at Walt Disney. If you saw the news, they've come out with plans to kind of join together with Fox and Warner Bros. With their ESPN brand to put together another streaming service housing the likes of Monday Night Football, possibly next season. So keep an eye out on that. They report earnings after close today. They're two for fiver, so technically unacceptable by our standards here. If you, towards the upside, we're going to look at the low 100s, 102 with some sticky resistance back from early 2023. Towards the downside, look towards the upper 80s, middle of the trading range at around 92 if we do get some bad results from Disney. Perfect. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Will with the Consumer Staples update for this week. The sector remains in equal weight territory within the broad Dolly sector rankings. No material signal changes over the past week. If you look on the asset class group scores page, so just another macro way of looking at sector rankings, asset allocation, group scores, you see non-cyclicals here in the yellow zone. That's the kind of transitional 2.5 to 3.0 score zone. Recently turned to a positive score direction, so we've seen some near-term relative strength from the sector, but still nothing to move it back into at least an equal weight or overweight territory at this time. There has been a lot of talk about defensives picking up strength lately. This is consumer non-cyclicals versus consumer cyclicals. So non-cyclicals, that defensive group in red, you can see their average scores have been steadily rising so far this year. Meanwhile, consumer discretionary consumer cyclicals have been really flat so far this year. You can see that a bit more if you look at the one-year chart as well. So this is what people have been talking about. Defensive staples have been picking up some relative strength, but again, at this point, nothing material. XLP, no change at this week, still fighting with that negative trend line. Weak fund score, we'd be sellers broadly of XLP here. Two names that are looking strong, Walmart, three attribute, broke back into a positive trend, all-time high this week. Target is another one kind of breaking back into a positive trend, a pretty notable break as well. Only a two attribute at this time. So if you get the follow through to a three, I'd be interested. That's all I had for today. Thanks for your time.
Morning, everybody. My name is Miles Clark. I'll be going through this week's cryptocurrency review. It's February 7th, 2024. It's a pretty quiet week, all things considered, for many of the coins within the NASDAQ crypto index. Not much going on, just a couple of coins advancing or declining more than 2.5%. Stellar coin there towards the bottom, and then Chainlink up about 18% for the week. Besides that, no notable technical developments worth mentioning. However, One thing that is worth mentioning is the lack of upside participation we're seeing from the smaller coins within the space. Here we can see the performance for the constituents of the NASDAQ crypto index in this custom column here since January 1st. Bitcoin is roughly flat, up about 2% for the year, underperforming the market. But a lot of these smaller coins, Polkadot, Stellar Coin, Uniswap, so on and so forth, they're down about 10% so far this year. Why is this significant? Well, in a similar fashion to U.S. equities, we like to see smaller participants participating in upside action, and we're just not seeing that so far for these smaller coins. So keep an eye on this. If we do see a lot of these coins kind of testing tight ranges at the moment, if we see some further downside participation, things could move lower quickly. Hope everyone has a great day.
This is John Lewis with an update on the U.S. dollar for February 7th, 2024. Since we did our last update, we've seen a little bit of up movement in the dollar. We've seen the dollar break a double top here on its point and figure chart. So while we still remain in this overall downtrend, we are seeing some near-term strength to break that double top. That trend line sits at 105.50. That will be the next important area to watch. The dollar, again, still remains in a downtrend, but we're getting some mixed signals here. So the dollar moves are going to be very important over the next couple weeks.
Hello, my name is Ian Saunders, and I'll be running through the international equities rundown for this week through February 7th. The international equity space has certainly been in the news quite a bit over the course of the past few weeks, given some movement from some of the largest areas, specifically China. But in looking at the broader space, we have seen the broader iShares Emerging Markets ETF ticker EEM tick a little bit higher, moving up to that 39.50 point with movement over the past few days. That brings us closer to overhead resistance at 40 from December of last year. Good to see a higher low on this chart as well. However, we're still in a sell signal, still in a negative trend, and still with a weak longer-term fund score rating there at 2.35. Nonetheless, we'd like to see us return to a buy signal at the 40.50 point, which is also the current location of that bearish resistance line. Initial support coming in at 37.50, further support at 36.50 from here. Obviously, a lot of the movement within the international equity space, as I mentioned, has been focused on some individual country moves. Here, looking at the NDW country index matrix ranking, haven't seen a ton of changes over the past week. We did see a pretty notable change, though, with Japan moving back up into the top half of these matrix rankings for the first time since November of 2020. So good to see that consistent improvement we've been hitting on here in this rundown weekly on some of that improvement from Japan. Good to see that continue and push it back up into suitable technical strength rankings there, the top half of these relative strength rankings. However, China continues to sit down firmly in the bottom half of these rankings, even with some of the movement we've seen over the past few days. Some of that movement is here looking at the iShares China Large Cap ETF ticker FXI. Very weak long-term picture, 0.07 fund score, pretty low. Feel like we continue to say that. How much lower can it go? And it continued to drop lower, really up until movement this week. We saw some continued potential stimulus trying to come in there from officials in China. That led large caps in China to form a double top with movement yesterday up at that 23 mark. So we got support at 21.50, further support at 21, those multi-year lows from this year, and then also looking back toward 2022. So pretty solid support there. See if we can get back to a buy signal with movement to 23.50. However, we've seen some declines, at least at the time of this recording on Wednesday. A lot of that's coming from some negative movement from Alibaba, which reported earnings this morning, Wednesday morning. Baba, BABA on the platform, look, you're looking at the ADR, week zero for fiber, longer term attribute rating. You can see on the default trend chart here, in a negative trend, tried to test that in November of last year, fell lower. We got a brief resurgence over the past couple of days, kind of heading into earnings, and then saw some pretty negative movement after earnings were released this morning, dropping the stock or this ADR down over 5% at the time of this recording. We look toward initial support at 72 for the support down at 67. If we can maybe just kind of look in here toward a potential near-term kind of pullback, it is down toward the middle of its trading band. If we do see a return to upside movement, we'd be looking toward overhead resistance now at the 78 point. If we got to 79, that would be a second consecutive buy, and then we'd need to kind of break into the 80s from here to move back into a positive trend. So Alibaba being one of the larger stocks within many of the broader China representatives. This will definitely be a name we'll continue to monitor here for China to see if we can see, if we see further declines, obviously that wouldn't be great for the space moving forward. However, if we do see a return to upside participation, could be some buying opportunities out there. It's certainly, at least now from a near-term perspective, given the weak longer-term ranking, but nonetheless, interesting areas to look toward. One of the strongest names within the international equity space over the past several weeks has been Japan. We had seen some improvement from the U.S. dollar recently, moved back to a buy signal this week. So here, looking at the Japan Hedged Equity Fund, which is Japanese equity exposure hedged against the dollar there, very, very consistently strong technical picture. We're looking here at a string of, I believe, 8 consecutive buy signals dating back to March of 2022. We are going to see this fund is in an overbought territory, weekly overbought, oversold, reading of 94%. Very strong 5.64 fund score here. So those looking at exposure within the broader international equity space, if you want focused exposure here to Japan, given some of the movement we've seen in the dollar, this hedge representative could be an area to look toward. Maybe want to wait for some kind of a pullback or some normalization here into the low 90s before jumping in to add exposure or easing in, given the extended overbought positioning. Nonetheless, a name that we'll continue to monitor here moving forward. And that wraps up what I was looking to touch on here for international equities, and we'll be back to talk with you about that next week.
Hello, and welcome to our fixed income update for the week of February 7th, 2024. My name is Jamie West, and we'll go ahead and jump right into the review. The asset class group scores fixed income rankings look largely the same as they did a week ago, with floating rates and high yield corporates leading. Credit bonds, convertibles, and multi-sector bonds round out the top five. While the fixed income rankings have remained stable, we have seen some shifts in the Fed futures market, and that's what I want to focus on today. Last week, we saw the first estimate of Q4 GDP showing that the economy grew at a faster than expected 3.3%. Meanwhile, non-farm payrolls also came in higher than expected. At the same time, we saw December PCE inflation come in at an annualized rate of around 2.6 and 2.9% respectively, slightly over the Fed's target. Now, you may remember that in the December statement of economic projections, FOMC members' median projection for the level of the Fed funds rate in 2024 stood at 4.6%. The market has priced in around 125 to 150 basis points of rate cuts this year, which is 2 or 3 more rate cuts than implied by the FOMC members' projections. So with this strong economic data and inflation still slightly above what the Fed Fed's target is, the question becomes, why should we expect Fed members to cut rates more than they signaled in December in the face of these strong economic numbers? I think a more circumspect view might be that the recent data makes it more likely that the Fed will hold rates higher for longer. And we've already begun to see the market shift in that direction. If you look down to the yellow highlighted section, this shows where we are now for the December rate meetings. It shows the probability of rates being in each bucket at that time. Now, if we look back a week ago, you can see there was a significantly higher probability of rates being in the 355 to 375 basis point range and in the 375 to 400 basis point range. You can see that the higher ranges, the 425 to 450 range and the 400 to 425 basis point range, the probability of those have increased. So we see the market shifting its view towards higher rates at the end of the year. Meanwhile, the market had been pricing in about an 80% chance of a rate cut in March. That possibility has all but been eliminated. And we can see that even now the Ray May cut, the probability of a Ray May rate cut has been significantly reduced, at least in the market's estimation. A week ago, we were pricing in almost a 50% chance of 2 rate cuts by the May meeting. Now we're pricing in only about a 65% chance of 1 rate cut. So clearly, the market kind of coming to grips with the fact that the Fed may not cut rates as fast as previously expected. We'll get some more clarity on this issue next month when the Fed releases its statement of economic projections. But in the meantime, I think we could be in store for a pickup in rate volatility as the market attempts to digest the data that we've seen over the last couple of weeks and how the Fed is going to react to it. So that pretty much will conclude my fixed income review for this week. Thank you for joining me, and I will be back next week to update you on any changes I see over the coming week. Hello, and welcome to our commodities review for the week of February 7th, 2024. My name is Jamie West. We'll go ahead and get started. The S&P GSCI Commodities Index was down about 3.55% over the last week. The decline was led by crude oil, which was down nearly 6%, while gasoline, natural gas, and heating oil also each finished in the red. We saw strong showings from cocoa, OJ, and lean hogs, which were each up more than 7% over the last week. Agricultural contracts are now firmly in control of the continuous commodities matrix, occupying the top five spots, excluding the continuous commodities index. Looking at a couple of individual charts that have moved over the last week, crude oil reversed down sharply off prior resistance at 79 and now sits at $72, just above its trend line. Crude is trading around $74 today, so it looks like we may get a reversal up from here, which would come with a move to 75. Geopolitics appear to be a major driver of crude prices recently. Crude sold off intraday on Tuesday following the news of a potential Gaza peace deal, but recovered and is trading higher today, but shows the potential for geopolitical-driven volatility in oil prices going forward. Gold returned to a buy signal over the last week when it broke a double top at 2050 and continued higher, taking out additional resistance when it hit 2060. As discussed in this week's fixed income video, there is potential for a pickup in interest rate volatility as the market digests recent strong economic data, which could spur volatility in precious metals prices as they tend to be significantly affected by treasury yields. At current, however, it appears that gold has established at least short-term support at 2010. And that will conclude our commodities coverage for this week. We thank you for joining us, and we will be back next week to update you on any changes we see over the coming week.